Inspire our hearts through the power of your Spirit. May you help us not to be speakers and hearers of your word only, but to be doers. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm sure that many of us did receive the St. John's News of September 2016, and hopefully you had time to flip through or perhaps read some of the contents. In our reflection today, I'll draw a bit from this. And what we did before or in this newsletter is to introduce the sermon series we are beginning. As you are aware, we had rounded off sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit after we had long period of studying the Lord's Prayer. And so now, in the next few weeks, we hope to focus on spiritual gifts. And if you read the pastoral letter in the newsletters, where you would have noted a list of some of the gifts. And like I also mentioned in the pastoral letter, what we have on the list is not like fixed, but there are more. We have more to what we have in this place. When I attended the Bible studies, the first class of the Tuesday study class, jokingly they had told me that I can quote them, and I hope you wouldn't mind, I'll be quoting you right from the beginning. Now, I would like to recommend this book to the congregation, whether or not you attend Tuesday class, but this is something I think will be very helpful for us in the coming weeks. It is very simple, straightforward. It doesn't go into theological debates. It is simple, easy to read. Spiritual Gifts by Paul Stevens. And it has 8 Bible studies for individuals and for group. Paul Stevens begins his 8 studies in this book by stating clearly, everyone in the community has a contribution to make, just as each part of the human body contributes to its ability to function properly. Everyone in a community has a contribution to make. Now, we can relate what Stevens has said to an article, and I hope George wouldn't mind me quoting him here. GR, I understand, means George Reed. And on page 18 of this magazine, of this St. John's News, you also read an article titled, Leave It to Someone Else. Leave It to Someone Else. I thought of making this series, of titling this series, Leave It to Someone Else, because I thought this is very captivating. And it relates very well to what Stevens has said. In page 18 of this newsletter, GR says, a congregation cannot thrive if all the members are content to leave the work to someone else, because soon there may be no one else. I think that is really captivating here. Because soon there might be no one else. And so GR continues to say, so the challenge to the congregation is this. Could you become a someone else? And perhaps that's the question I would like to leave with us in the coming weeks. Could you become a someone else? We are beginning our sermon series, as I already mentioned, and we'll be focusing on Romans chapter 12 from verse 6 to 8. Spiritual gifts are special abilities provided by the Holy Spirit to Christians for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. God graciously, and we know he can do it without us, but he chooses to do with us. And that is really a privilege that God chooses to act in his world through us. And so we call it gracious. He's being gracious in doing that. He gives his power to ordinary followers, like we read in Exodus, where God's Spirit came into men and women and they brought their skills, their talents, their times, their money, their resources for the work of the temple. And so he gives power to ordinary followers like us for loving service to others. The gifts include, but not limited to, prophecy, as we read, as Graham read for us, read this morning. Prophecy, seven, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracle, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostleship, administration, evangelism, exhortation, and pastor. And you can find that, if you read this, I'll refer you again to this. Perhaps you might need to pick it up again. And if you don't have a copy, you might need to ask GR for a copy. Before that, you know what GR means? George Reed. But let me ask us, as we progress in this reflection, what fears or uneasiness do you have each time spiritual gifts are mentioned? Which kind of apprehension do you have? What is that all about? How do you feel? And perhaps, what were your initial reactions to the whole idea that we'll be studying spiritual gifts? Now, this is not children's talk, so I'm not going to ask you for feedback or maybe for responses, but maybe it might be nice to think about it. A Bible study group met in a home to study how various ministries, how different gifts should work in the body of Christ. One member, and I think a good number of us, me, will also fit into this, commented, "You know, I don't understand how different gifts can work together." At that moment, a woman who was also in that Bible study accidentally dropped her kappa. Her kappa broke and spilled coffee all over the ground, all over the floor, and also touched some members who were there. But each group member responded differently to the mishap according to their spiritual gifts. The teacher who was there gave some advice. "Next time, if you put your cup on the table, that won't happen again." Then the administrator who was there responded by organizing a cleanup committee and said, "Bill, please go find a mob. Sally, could you help him with a towel?" And then Bill, or Billy, who had the gift of service, hurried to get the mob. And then Sally, who had the gift of help, followed Billy and said, "I will help you." And then the person with the gift of exhortation said to the woman, "We all make mistakes, so don't let it get you down." And then the person with the gift of mercy put her arm on the shoulder of the woman, patted her hand and said, "I feel so badly for you." And then the person with the gift of giving exclaimed, "I will buy a new set of coffee mugs to replace the broken one." And so, knowingly or unknowingly, they used their various gifts together to resolve that mishap. What we are saying here is not strange, because many of us are already operating in this in different ways without realizing it. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts as he sees fit. And so it is not something we manufacture on our own. It is something the Holy Spirit does through us, through our yielding of our lives to him. We don't influence the Holy Spirit to do that. He does it. He knows our abilities. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. God calls some to be teachers and gives them the gift of teaching. But that does not excuse the person from serving God in other ways as well. In fact, I've been told over time that they will need to rewrite my remit as the minister in St. John's to include standing at the door every Sunday to open the door for people to come in, and also to hold the door at the end of the service so that people can go out. And again, when the cups are taken to the kitchen, to bend down and pick the cups and put them right inside the cupboard, I've been told there has to be a rewriting of my job description. And part of the job description will also be that when we go on excursion or a day out, I'll be buried inside the sand. That was also part of my job as a minister, that I should be buried inside the sand as a minister. And I said, oh yeah. So my job is then endless. But what it simply means is that we don't fix ourselves inside a box. The understanding of spiritual gifts does not mean you fix yourself inside the box and you don't let yourself outside the box. It means that even though you are called to be a teacher or a pastor, you can still serve in different ways. So the gift of the Spirit is about service. It's about being open to serve God in the ways in which he calls us. Something might be wrong if we focus and put ourselves inside the box without discovering other opportunities to serve God within the church family and in our community. We need to discover possibilities of service. Today, I would like us to also briefly, because we are beginning this study, to look at prophecy in brief. The spiritual gift of prophecy is the ability to receive a divinely inspired message and deliver it to others in a congregation of God's people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. You can see it on the screen. And so Paul, in his writing to Corinthians, was very clear on that, the gift of prophecy. And then you can also turn, Paul again writing to Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 to 20, says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. So again, the whole idea of prophecy is mentioned. Not only in the Old Testament, we also find it in the New Testament. The point is this. We do not need to get scared of any of this. And we do not need to close our hearts, perhaps, because it is not within the confine of our comfort zone. But we need to be open to the working of God's Spirit and in the way he works in his congregation. In the Old Testament, prophets proclaimed, thus says the Lord. And their words were recorded in scriptures, and we read them today. Prophecies of Isaiah, prophecy of Habakkuk, prophecy of Nahum, prophecy of Elijah, and all the rest of the prophets. They said, thus says the Lord. And their words were recorded as scriptures. But the messages of those with a spiritual gift of prophecy are not recorded as scriptures today. And their messages can take the form of exhortation, correction, disclosure of secret sins, prediction of future events, comfort, inspiration, or other revelations given to them to edify and equip the body of Christ. Their messages, we need to note, do not take the place of the authoritative word of God. It does not replace the Bible. And I think we need to be clear on that. But are spoken in human words, through human minds, which is why the words of prophets or prophecies should be tested against the scripture. And so they do not give us a second Bible when we have prophets and prophetesses. Their words should be tested against the scriptures to be sure that it is consistent with the content of the Bible. Like every other gift, those with the gift of prophecy should be humble and continually study the scriptures. So no matter the gift you have, as we keep exploring this, we need to be humble. We need to know that it is a gift, not our own right. We don't have control over it. It is God's gift to us. And so we need to be humble, and we need to continually study the Bible, the scripture, in order to test our revelations. And when people with the gift of prophecy speak, they should allow and even expect others to weigh what is said against the scriptures and interpret the message accordingly. God has given gifts to the body of Christ to manifest his presence. Like we demonstrated during the children's talk, Mr. Potato Head, with a hand, with a nose, with the legs. Such is the body of Christ. We need to identify where we belong. We need to become someone else. Using that word. You don't need to say they are there, they are doing it, because a lot is happening in St. John's. From week to week, day to day, a lot of people are involved. But you also notice that there are some people who get so involved from Monday to Sunday. They are doing different things. And so we need to come on board. You need to speak with someone at the end of the service. You can speak with GR, you can speak with Glenn, you can speak with myself, and tell us which area you might want to come in. In fact, in the newsletter, you also notice a list of different activities that take place in St. John's. And GR had also mentioned in this that many of the someone S are 70 and above, 80 and above. We need people, younger generation, to study under this someone S in order to take over as time progresses. These gifts we are talking about are meant to build unity among believers and effectively equip us to reach out to the world. Having said all this, we do not need to wait until we work out a formula or a spiritual gift test that tells us what spiritual gift we possess before we begin to serve. Do you see a need in our congregation or in the community? Do what you can to meet the needs. Is there a position in our congregation that is vacant? And I'm sure if you speak with people, you will notice that there are vacant positions in our congregation. Pray as to whether God will have you fill it. Don't just say, no. Pray first and ask God if God wants you to fill it. In fact, that was the same process that led to EO, Elijah Obinna, becoming the minister in St. John's. When I read the advert, I prayed, and the more I was reading about it, the more it felt like the Spirit of God was saying, this is the right place, this is where you should be. I didn't know Kaluk. I hadn't been to Kaluk before. Pray. Don't just back out. There are vacancies, there are opportunities for service in our community. All believers, as members of the body of Christ, should be serving together in order for the body to be fully functional. We need to put in our best. The ministry is our ministry. It is not the ministry of the minister. It is not the ministry of the station clerk or for the elders or the management. It is our ministry. It is for the Laos, people of God. We are the hand, we are the leg, we are the eyes, we are the head, we are the nose of Jesus. And if we all put in our best, we'll make a vibrant, sustainable congregation that will stand the test of time. A congregation that will be a blessing, not only to our community here, but beyond. A congregation that will be a blessing to the whole of Scotland and to different parts of the world. The basis of exercising spiritual gifts is simply having a personal relationship with Christ. Obeying his word and walking in his ways. And since the gift of the Spirit are gifts of grace, not our own gifts, their use must be controlled by love, the greatest of all the gifts. Amen.